All the advice we're getting is that the games can and will go ahead. So at this precise time, we are moving ahead and expecting the games to begin on the 24th of July.
The International Olympic Committee is pressing on with the Tokyo Summer Games. But with coronavirus shutting down competitions across the world and teams playing to empty arenas, a lot can happen between now and July. Today, how the biggest sporting event on Earth is preparing to move forward as the world battles a public health crisis. I'm Mina Kimes. It's Wednesday, March 4th. This is ESPN Daily, presented by ADT. Hi, Kelly.
Hi.
Kelly Cohen is a reporter for ESPN. This week, she wrote about coronavirus and the preparations for the Tokyo Olympics. So, Kelly, the International Olympic Committee is holding meetings this week in Switzerland. They're going to be covering a lot of issues, but obviously what everyone wants to know about is coronavirus and whether it'll impact the games. Well, what has the committee said?
Right. So actually, two people spoke from the committee, the president, Thomas Bach, and Mark Adams, who's the spokesperson for the IOC. And they said more or less the same thing. And I would say that they are very strong and resolute in their statements that July 24th, that is when the Olympic Games are opening.
All the advice we have at the moment is the games are going ahead from all of the competent authorities. You can have all the speculation that you want, and I would love to give you a good story, but the fact is, there's no reason for us not to plan to have the games starting on the 24th of July.
And then Thomas Bach, he also spoke. He said more about the same.
Following the regular information from this task force, we remain very confident with regard to the success of these Olympic Games Tokyo 2020.
Again, July 24th, the Olympics are happening.
This is quite a change from what we heard last week, right?
Right. So last week, Dick Pound, a member of the IOC, caught even the IOC itself by surprise when he said in an interview that the Olympics could get canceled if coronavirus kind of continues to get worse.
If the games are canceled, and that's a big if at this point, it's going to be a complicated decision. Today, we're sort of watching, and the IOC is in constant contact with the World Health Organization and all their specialized agencies to monitor this thing, because we don't really know enough about it yet.
So the IOC's been working, I guess you could say, pretty hard to walk that back. Now they're kind of all on the same page. And if I could emphasize that, that page is very strong. There's no need to panic. We're doing everything we can to make sure that the Olympics are going to be safe for everyone. Athletes, attendees, visitors from overseas, people that live in Japan. And I would say they are going to continue to be that strongly unified going forward as we get closer to July.
We also heard from Japan's minister for the Tokyo Games, who said, yes, everybody's working towards July 24th, the opening ceremony in Tokyo. But she kind of threw a wrinkle in there and actually brought up postponing the games. What did that tell you?
Right. So she was talking to Japan's parliament. She's the minister of both the Olympic and the Paralympic Games. You know, the Paralympic Games come right after the regular Olympic Games. And there's a contract signed between the host city of Tokyo and the IOC. And it basically reads that only the IOC can cancel the games only if they can't be held in the year of 2020. So she kind of kept the door open that if they can postpone it, that's okay, because in the contract, they can hold it up until the end of the year. So I think that's how we see the canceling, you know, no games whatsoever is really remains the worst case scenario. And IOC and Tokyo, those officials are going to make sure that, you know, one way or the other, we get Olympics 2020.
Even though we're hearing, you know, July 24th, it's not actually a done deal that the games will go forward as planned, right?
Right. So as of Tuesday, there are now more than 3,100 deaths worldwide, 92,000 confirmed cases, more than 70 countries worldwide now have the coronavirus. And even though infections are slowing in China, where the coronavirus originated, it is growing elsewhere. So I think there is a possibility that it gets to the point where they're going to have to, you know, not go forward on July 24th. And I also want to point out that WHO has not declared coronavirus a global pandemic. They said that they could do that in the future. So I think that's kind of a space to watch for, that if WHO declares it a global pandemic, we might start to see, you know, something has to change. It's not going to be July 24th. So that is definitely a big thing to watch for.
So Kelly, around the world, the reason we're even having this conversation in the first place about the Olympics is obviously that it's in Japan. What is the state of the virus in Japan right now?
So it's actually, it remains the worst in mainland China. That's where most of the cases are. That's where most of the deaths are. In Japan, they have more than 900 confirmed cases, which is the fifth most in the world, behind China, South Korea, Italy, and Iran. And they are taking a lot of precautions.
Health experts encourage social distancing. For Japan, that means empty schools, classes canceled for a month, empty offices, people working from home.
Their prime minister has canceled school until April. So that includes all levels of school. And that, when you think about it, eliminates that close quarter, right? It's also the CDC has issued a level 2 travel warning. So that means if you're someone that has health issues or you're older, it means don't travel there yet. So right now the US is still a level 1. So if you lived outside the US, it's pretty much okay right now to come in. Japan is level 2. And then those other countries like China, like South Korea, those are level 3, which means like you should absolutely not go there at all. So Japan's kind of in the middle, but like I said, they are taking precautions. Preseason baseball in Japan, they're playing games in front of empty stadiums.
Ushers make the rounds before the starting lineups are announced, echoing through the empty 55,000-seat Tokyo Dome.
And they actually don't even know when the regular season is going to start because of the threat.
Is there anything about the coronavirus in particular that makes this process especially challenging?
Yeah, so with other diseases that we've seen, H1N1, a strain of the flu, that threatened the Vancouver Olympics. We also know of Zika in 2016 in Brazil. There was a lot known about those diseases, and that's a good thing. With the coronavirus, there's a lot of unknown. There's no vaccine. There's a lot of just things that they're still trying to figure out about it. So I think that lack of knowledge is what's playing into this fear that, you know, the Olympics might have to be modified or canceled or whatever, because of the fact that we don't have a lot of concrete answers about it.
So I covered the Rio Olympics back in 2016. And I remember in the spring, in May or so, there were medical experts who were saying the games should be moved or canceled because of Zika. The World Health Organization said they didn't think it was a risk and, you know, that the Olympics could happen. After the games, it was reported that there wasn't a single Zika case by the end of the Olympics in Brazil. Now, obviously, we're talking about an entirely different virus right now, but do you think it's possible we might see similarly conflicting opinions until the games begin?
Yes, definitely. And I've actually seen some, you know, I've seen experts in op-eds saying you absolutely have to cancel it. And then I've seen other experts, again, saying we still don't know enough to cancel it. It could be something like the flu, right? It could be a seasonal virus that will taper out during the warmer months. So when we learn more, I think maybe then the opinions might come closer together. You know, we still have 5 months to go. So there is a lot of uncertainty between now and then.
Coming up, how coronavirus stacks up to past threats to the Olympic Games.
The best teams start with great talent, but finding the right people can be a challenge. I mean, just ask the New York Knicks. When it comes to hiring for your business, ZipRecruiter can help you find the right candidates for your team fast, from healthcare to manufacturing to business services and more. And now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/ESPN Daily. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 top job sites, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right skills and experience for your job and actively invites them to apply. You can even add screening questions to your job listing so you can filter candidates and focus on the best ones. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, to try ZipRecruiter for free, My listeners can go to ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. That's ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Kelly, what was your impression of the IOC and Mark Adams, who's their communications director, when he spoke about this issue?
So he knew right as he sat down, before he took any questions, he was like, I know what's on your guys' mind, right? It's coronavirus, which, you know, it does make sense that that's what everyone wants to talk about.
To be honest on that, I have very little to add. I'm sure you will ask me lots of questions. For us, the games are going ahead on the 24th of July, and we confidently expect to deliver them on that date.
So the first questions, again, were about coronavirus, even though he said he wasn't going to offer, you know, any new information.
Lots of sports are being cancelled all over the world. It seems to be spreading. I mean, you must have a deadline of when you've got to make a decision to postpone, delay. Have you talked about that? Is it going to be at the end of May?
No, we've made a decision, and the decision is that the games go ahead. And where that was made some time ago. We see no reason to change that decision. There we are.
So he did seem kind of defensive. You could even say a little bit annoyed. He was like, we're going forward. We're doing everything. We have the task force. We have WHO, you know, the Japanese government, the Tokyo local officials, the IOC. The start date is going forth as planned. Yeah, we're nervous about it, but don't worry about it because we are doing everything we can and then some. Stop asking about it.
So there's a lot of emphasis, obviously, on that date, July 24th, the beginning of the games. But there are events around the Olympics before the games even begin.
Right. So you have the international qualifying events, and we've actually seen a little bit of those tweaked. And he actually acknowledged that there might have to be a little bit of changes. He used the word flexible.
At this stage, we're still pretty confident that with that flexibility, with some health measures at those different events, that they will take place to our satisfaction.
Some of those events are going to have to be moved. So last week, the International Triathlon Union announced its qualifying events being moved from China to Spain. Baseball's qualifying tournament held in Taipei is being pushed from April to July. That was a big thing for him to acknowledge, but I definitely watch that space for those type of pre-July 24th events to change.
Kelly, what is the precedent for this kind of decision? Have the Olympics ever been canceled or moved before?
So to date, no Olympics have actually ever been canceled or postponed for anything other than war. So that's World War I and World War II. They were moved. I would say probably the most comparable event we can look at is in 2003 when there was the SARS outbreak in China. They moved the Women's FIFA World Cup into the U.S. But that is kind of also hard to compare because, you know, you can have a giant soccer tournament at a soccer stadium. And the U.S. had also held it 4 years prior. So they were kind of set up for that. You know, there are always these threats to large scale events, whether it's, again, disease, it can be politics, it can be violence, and they prepare for that. A professor I talked to, Victor Matheson, he studied Olympics history. He told me that talking about these type of threats, so not just necessarily disease, but also maybe violence or politics to such a mega event like the Olympics is not unprecedented. There is precedent for talking about these type of threats, but this type of threat, the coronavirus, it itself is so unprecedented in what it's threatening the Olympics.
So, not long ago, the Tokyo Marathon was held. It went forward, but it was held to just a few hundred elite runners. Tens of thousands who had registered were told to stay home, and there were no spectators. So it was held on mostly empty streets, which was an eerie sight.
Here in Japan, this is now what sports looks like in the age of coronavirus. Typically, there'll be tens of thousands of fans lining these streets to cheer on these runners. But right now, in comparison, nobody is here.
And got me wondering, do you think it's possible the Olympics might proceed, but you know there might not be fans or spectators allowed to watch?
That's definitely an option. And we've seen it in some soccer games, especially in Italy. I think before the bigger outbreak in Italy, we saw those kind of closed door events. But yeah, more than a million spectators usually go to the Tokyo Marathon. It's one of the biggest ones in the world. And they weren't there. There were just 200 runners on these quiet streets. And the photos, yeah, they're very eerie. And I think it's certainly a possibility, but I don't know. The Olympics are this unifying thing in the world. That lack of not having that, I think, is something that is weighing on the minds, and it's not the best thing to think about.
Kelly, along those lines, you know, there's billions of dollars wrapped up in the Olympics. What would the financial impact be, both for Japan and the IOC, if this was canceled or postponed?
So the official budget for the Olympics this year was between, I think it was upwards of $12 billion, but we've also seen estimates that put it north of $25 billion. But one expert I talked to actually had something pretty interesting to say. He said, basically now all the construction spending is done, and they expected the tourism revenue to be pretty big, but tourism revenue is just 1% of Japan's GDP. So they weren't necessarily looking toward that even as such a big deal. But, you know, there's the television deals, there's the marketing campaigns. There are billions of dollars still at stake. You know, obviously money is never more important than a life, but that is something that's really also has to weigh on the minds, right? And then you also think of the money spent by the athletes and the teams and the countries and how much time and effort that they've been planning for the Olympics for years.
Your story this week is about the Olympics, but it's not the only major sporting event potentially affected by the coronavirus. We talked about the Tokyo Marathon. What other events and games are being impacted by this around the world?
So sports are actually feeling the impact around the globe. It's not just Japan. The World Indoor Track and Field Championships later this month in March in China have been postponed. Soccer games in Italy and China have been canceled, postponed, played behind closed doors. The Formula One, actually, the Chinese Grand Prix in Shanghai, scheduled for April, has been postponed. The LPGA had events in China, Thailand, and Singapore. Those have all been canceled. So it's definitely impacting sports everywhere.
Well, what about in the U.S.? I mean, we're starting to see more cases here in multiple states. Do you think it's possible that major sporting events could also be canceled?
In terms of here, I think it's been a little bit slower here, but it could easily pick up in America like it has in Italy. Health officials here are warning that that really could happen. I think precautionary measures right now are just what we're hearing about. You know, we hear in the NBA, we had some reporting on ESPN about, you know, not shaking hands, limiting signatures, just doing fist bumps. Major League Baseball just announced that they're not planning to cancel or postpone any spring training or regular season games due to the coronavirus, but they do have an internal task force to deal with any, you know, possible things that might arise from coronavirus in the coming months. I know the NHL is doing some preparations, but I think right now they're kind of keeping it the surface level. In about 2 weeks, March Madness starts. And so that means I have 68 teams and all of their fans all packing into, you know, basketball arenas, watching these games. And the National College Players Association actually is suggesting that the NCAA and the colleges that are going to be part of March Madness seriously consider playing those games without the fans.
Thanks so much, Kelly.
Thank you.
Coming up, NFL players and their same name doppelgangers.
Whatever you want to protect, nobody has more ways to help keep you safe than ADT, the most trusted name in security. You can customize an ADT security package to help protect your home in a way that works for you and your budget. ADT has HD video doorbells, indoor and outdoor cameras, smart lights, smart locks, smart thermostats, flood sensors, fire and carbon monoxide detectors, all connected to 24/7 monitoring and controlled by the sound of your voice or the ADT app. So help protect your home today with ADT. Learn more at ADT.com/podcast.
Here's another story I want you to know. There are almost 1,700 players in the NFL, so some are bound to share first or last names. And occasionally, this is quite rare, we'll get unrelated players with the exact same name. Last year, the Jaguars drafted a pass rusher named Josh Allen, 7th overall, 1 year after the Bills took quarterback Josh Allen in the exact same spot. And this year, there's another name in the draft that's going to raise some eyebrows, a cornerback from Nebraska
named Lamar Jackson. According to a piece by ESPN's Michael Rothstein, cornerback Lamar Jackson was actually a higher-ranked recruit coming out of high school. He first learned about quarterback Lamar Jackson by, what else, Googling his own name. And when the eventual Heisman winner started gaining notoriety at Louisville, cornerback Lamar Jackson was often confused for him on social media. Rothstein reached out to MVP Lamar Jackson's mother, who's his manager, and while she told him that she and her son weren't aware of the younger Lamar, they wished him good luck in this year's draft. The players could end up being teammates. Cornerback Lamar actually met with Baltimore at the Senior Bowl. Or he could end up picking off his namesake in a game, producing some Lamar-on-Lamar violence. I'm still waiting for a Josh Allen-on-Josh Allen sack. Meanwhile, there's another cornerback in this draft with a familiar name. A.J. Green, out of Oklahoma State. So cornerback A.J. actually met his predecessor, the famous Bengals wide receiver, when he asked for his autograph at a Pro Bowl years ago. But unlike Josh and Josh or Lamar and Lamar, their names are actually different. Bengals A.J. Green is named Adriel, and Oklahoma State A.J. Green is named Alvin. But something tells me that won't stop people from mixing them up for the rest of his career. I'm Mina Kimes, and this has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.